Familiar passage of Scripture, but I believe it's also, especially verse number 28, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I believe it's one that's probably most often abused in Christian circles. And we would just want to begin reading Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28. Scripture reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" And that's a question. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Another question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Another question. "It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?" Another question. "It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" And you see the pattern here. These are all questions. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. And if you're saved, that ought to make you say amen. And I'm telling you something, friends, this morning, I'm glad. And if you're not saved, that ought to put an unction within you to want to be saved. Amen? Hey, I'm going to tell you, the gospel, and I've said this over the last 6, 8, 12 weeks, is the gospel is the greatest message of hope that the world has ever known. Amen. I'm glad that, through every other denomination and, or not, excuse me, not denominations, but through every other doctrine and through every other, we can elaborate, I guess, on denominations, but religions especially. All those religions, all the other religions, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, they focus on something that has died, that will die, or death is coming. But I'm glad today that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is alive, it is well, and it is full of hope. Now, I want to get back right here to verse number 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." And listen, "to them who are the called according to His purpose." Like I said, I believe today in modern Christian circles, this is probably one of the most abused passages of Scripture because we have this very slimline view of what good is. Amen. And we believe that the will of God is good, and that's also reflected in hell. That good is also reflected in wealth, and that good is only reflected in the things and the materialistic things that we have. But the Scripture teaches us in the book of Matthew, it said, "Lay not up yourselves treasures on the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves can break through and steal. But He said, lay your treasures up in heaven, where thieves cannot break through, and where thieves cannot steal." Listen, He said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Amen. So what is good in a Christian's life? You know what is good? Listen, no matter the financial burdens or the obligations that we have, no matter the sicknesses that we bear in our minds or in our bodies, I'm glad that we that are saved by the grace of God, when we pillar our heads at night, that we can look our heads up toward heaven and know the good thing is that this life soon will come to an end, but heaven shall soon be our home. Amen. That is what's good about the will of God. The Bible tells us, in Hebrews 9:27, for it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. In verse number 28, he said, but unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Amen. Salvation is the Greek word sotira. The literal interpretation of the Greek word sotira is to be kept in a perfect or unaltered condition. Amen. The word saved in the Greek is the word sozo, which means to be preserved. Amen. And I've preached this a lot over the last few years, and I feel it's needful for this morning because we've got a lot of gardeners and a lot of people who can. When the garden comes in about the end of summertime, and we gather in all the great harvest, and everybody files in the kitchens, and stringing and breaking beans and shucking corn, and shelling peas and all the things that are associated with this, and the things that we do is we prepare these things for when there is no food, for the winter time when the harvest is not in. So what do? We prepare these things. We can them. Amen. When you can a can of beans, I'm glad. Because this has great significance and importance to those that are saved. Amen. When you properly can a can of beans, 50 years from now, you can crack the lid, and when the top pops, amen, you know that preservation has been kept, and you know that you have a sustainable food that is good for your body. I'm glad today that when you are saved, the Lord keeps us and seals us and preserves us until the day which He calls us. You see, there's great significance. Amen. The Bible tells us, and it reads to us in Ephesians in chapter 1, in verse number 13, it said, after whom, you were sealed, it said, after whom, after you heard the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance until the purchase of the prized possession. I'm glad today, friends, that He keeps us. And we don't keep ourselves. You see, that's what separates us. I've often said this through my years of preaching. If you believe that you added anything, I believe this to the entirety and the fullness of my soul. If you believe that you added anything to your salvation, if you yourself added anything to your salvation, then you are liable to keep it. Amen. But see, glory to God, I'm glad I had no part in what God done inside of me. He keeps me. I don't keep myself. See, so friends, But have you ever had a can of beans where the top didn't feel good? Boy, how many folks in the preacher, you trying to scare me? I ain't trying to scare you into nothing. I just want to preach to you the gospel truth and the reality. Amen. There's a lot of people in the church. They're still there, but my grandma and grandpa, they had what they called the old rock house, and that's where they kept all their canned goods. And after the end of the summertime, after they get everything canned, and the grandkids usually, we was just toting from the kitchen to the rock house. And once you got everything filed up there, last year's beans and the beans from the year before that, you had to pull all them off so you could put the freshly canned beans in the back. And because you wanted the older beans to sit up front. Amen. That's when you pulled, you wanted to pull from the older years. And when you started pulling them is when you found the beans or whatever it was that you had canned, you found those that the seal just never held. And friends, I believe that the entirety of my soul, there's a lot of people that's hiding in the church, but you've never been saved. You're just hit by everybody else around you. And you look the part, act the part, but you know there's something not right. Amen. I preached one summer revival. I preached it. My text was, God's going to burn your barley field. And I'll never forget, they're friends of ours. And his wife, we're very close friends. She's in her 40s. And she come down the altar that night. And she got down there, and I thought she just came for prayer. I got down beside her eventually, and she said, "Preacher, I'm lost." And I thought to myself, how many years had she hid herself in and amongst the people of the church? Amen. Active. I'm talking about Sundays. Listen, that's why I preach this, and I believe this. Amen. Listen, Christ never died for the preacher, for the deacon, for the Sunday school teacher. He never died for the church member. Remember, amen, he died for the sinner. Friend, it don't matter. I don't care what kind of title you have. Your financial responsibilities or your obligations, what your bank account does or does not have. Let me tell you something. The gospel does not disregard. You're not going to heaven because you're poor. Amen. And you're not going to hell because you're rich. Amen. The only thing that differentiates where you go beyond this life is whether you've been saved by the grace of God. But listen, I wonder how many people today, and I don't know how I'm running this tangent. I'm going to get back on target here in just a minute. But I just wonder within myself today, how many people have lost themselves in and amongst the crowd? I never forget that woman as she bowed in the altar. That was the same summer revival. We had 7 church members saved. You see, when the light shines in the darkness, it reveals all things. But she told me, because it's often very intriguing to me, how somebody can live that long lost. She told me after the fact, she said, "I knew there was something wrong the whole time. But," she said, "I was in so deep, I felt like I couldn't make it right." I'm going to tell you something, friends. Let me elaborate this to you. And there's probably a lot of preachers out there, they don't like it when I say this. But I mean this because, I quit caring. I honestly love you and I hope that you love me. But as far as how I feel about, whether or not you like what I preach or how I preach is really no concern to me. Amen. I honestly don't care. Amen. Because I ain't going to stand before you. I'm going to stand before God. Amen. So, friends, listen to me. I would rather you get saved 2, 3, 4 times than you die and go to hell. Preacher, were you saying that you can get saved 2, 3, and 4 times? No. I believe once you're saved by the grace of God, you are eternally kept. I believe that salvation only comes one time. Amen? And it doesn't come in parts and it doesn't come in specifications. I believe once you're saved by the grace of God, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? That all being said, I believe that there's lots of people. We see it constantly. Amen? They come back when they're 12, or they come back when they're 30, or they come back when they're 50, and they say, "Well, I thought I was saved then, but preacher, I know I'm saved now." That's my point, friends. Listen, we've got to get past the I thinks and I thoughts, amen, and we've got to get down to brass tacks whether or not you've really, truly been born again. All right, moving on. We know that all things work together for them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Ain't you glad that you know that the will of God is perfect in your life if you're saved? We don't know what we're going to go through. Preacher, you can't stand up there and preach to me because you're not going through what I'm going through. And I'll be the first to tell you, I know. That's why I don't say a whole lot in the hospital. God taught me a big lesson one time. One of my dearest friends, we'd worked together. We was in each other's wedding.
We rode to work, when we both worked in Atlanta, we rode to work together every morning. And I'll never forget, early one Monday morning, he called me about 6 o'clock. And he said, "I ain't going to be able to meet you this morning." He said, the ambulance just left the house and took Andrea, to Northeast Georgia Medical Center. And I said, "What happened?" He said, "She had a brain aneurysm, 25 years old." For 7 days, I sat at the hospital with him by his side. I said, "God's going to heal her. God's going to touch her." And I'll never forget, about 4 or 5 days into this, and listen, I believe that we need to be encouragers, amen? But there reaches a point when we need to take the Word of God and apply it to what we're saying, amen? I'll never forget, about the 4th or 5th day into this thing, she finally opened her eyes. She spoke to Josh, and I thought, "God, you're fixing to heal her, and she's fixing to come out of this." She closed her eyes. She went back into a coma, and as we sat there, I told Josh, leaned over to him one night, and I said, "God is going to bring her through this." And he looked at me with tears in his eyes, and he said, "What if he don't?" The reason I say this to you, be careful what you say. Because there's a lot of people in Christianity have made, just like I have, made perverse comments using the scripture, not in its entirety, that have actually driven people away from Christ. I'm glad that his feet were on the ground better than mine were. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God did heal. She died 2 days later, 25 years old. Preacher, what's good about that? We know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Preacher, what's good about that? She was saved. Healing came. Amen. Healing came. God did heal her. Amen. Friends, let me tell you something. There's so many things in this life that are so much worse than death. Amen. Yes, death is fearful. Death scares us. Why? Because we can't talk to nobody who's been there. Amen. And any flesh-breathing human being sitting in the church right now that will tell you, look you in the eye and tell you, "Preacher, there is no part of death that scares me. I want you to look at me right now." You're lying. You're just flat lying. Because there's always the fear of the unknown. Amen. Yes, I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that I'm going home. I'm telling you, there's a certain part of death that's fearful. Amen? Preacher, you know, I believe the only way we can relate to people is just to be honest. Amen? For too many years of my life, I've seen preachers that tried to be up here and put the church down here. And if you don't have this kind of faith, then you ain't got what it takes. But what I'm going to tell you, friends, listen, there's things that scare all of us. Amen. The fear of the unknown. But listen, I'm glad the Bible tells us he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a strong mind. So listen, the fears of our lives, the unknowns of our lives, if we'll redirect our fears into faith, and if we put our faith and hope and patience and love, he can give us the power to conquer our fear. Amen. Friends, listen to me, because I believe this. You know, we find there at death, and I know I'm not even elaborating on this scripture. I apologize, but I believe this is needful. Friends, listen to me. I'm glad as Stephen was stoned. Amen. The Bible said that he fell asleep, and the Bible said that Christ arose from his throne. You know, I believe this with the entirety of my soul. You know why there's a certain part of death that is fearful? Because I've never experienced dying grace. Amen. Let me elaborate this a little bit deeper. Friends, listen. The morning I got saved is the morning I also got lost. And there was fear. Amen. There was fear of the unknown. But I knew if I could make myself, it hurt it all my life, if I could just get to the altar, if I could just get to the feet of Jesus, I knew it could be okay. You see, I went from fear to faith. And when I translated from fear to faith, I found grace. Amen. I believe that death is the same way. Amen. Listen, when we transition from fear to faith, amen. The Bible said in Psalms 24, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will have no fear. Amen. Why is that? That is because when we make that journey and we make that walk, dying grace is incorporated. God gives us grace in every circumstance of our lives. Amen, preacher, that's a good point. Thank you. But you see, that's why I can, listen, God gives us grace to go through sickness. I can't stand here and tell you I know what you're going through because I don't. I don't. But I can promise you this, according to the Word of God, if we have faith, hope, and trust in Him, been saved, preserved, been kept by and sealed by the Spirit of God's grace, I know that there is grace sufficient for every need. Paul, the Bible said, he sought Him thrice about the thorn in his flesh. Amen. And there's a lot of theologians, they say that was because Paul was blind, because he'd been beaten and stoned so many times for preaching the gospel. I don't believe it was because Paul was blind. I believe it was Paul's past. Everybody look at me, friends. You know the hardest part about being a Christian is not receiving God's forgiveness. It's forgiving yourself. Because if we can never get past the fact that we don't deserve forgiveness, we can't receive forgiveness. That's why so many people can never humble themselves before God was because they cannot forgive their self. I'm glad, friends, today it does not matter where we've been, who we are, what we have done, the sins we have committed, the atrocities against the Word of God. Friends, listen, the abominations and the sins that fill our lives, I'm glad that there's no sin too great that Calvary cannot conquer. Amen. And I'm glad that it applies to my son and to my daughter. I'm glad that when we walk through death row in Jackson, Georgia, it applies to every man and woman in every jail cell, in the deepest, darkest dungeons of this earth that have done the most violent, atrocities against humanity and against God. I'm glad that the grace of God is just as sufficient for them as it is for me. Listen, I'm going to try and get this done. I know I've kept you too long already. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow. And y'all think, listen, I promise I'm not going to preach 30 minutes on every verse. Although I could. For whom he did foreknow, I just want to get this right here. I want to wrap your minds around this right here because these two verses have caused a lot of controversy and a lot of confusion in the church. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say unto these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, we will go through this word by word. For whom he did foreknow. Now, who is whom? Whom is us? He is Jesus. Did foreknow. What does the word foreknow mean? Foreknowledge means before existence he knew. Amen. That's why we have an omnipresent, which means he's always present, an omnipotent and all-knowledgeful God. So friends, listen, if we understand the fact that God knows all things, then we have to come in fruition of our thinking. Then we ultimately come to the point that God knew us. And listen, what Jeremiah wrote in the first chapter, he knew us in the womb. Amen. So friends, listen to me. And I want to say this while I'm here. Amen. Just so I can drive this point home. Amen. Listen, it is not your power to take a child's life. That is God's life, not yours to take. You made the decisions to come to this point. Now it's in God's hands. It's not in yours. Just so you know where I stand. So listen to this. For whom he did foreknow. So who did he foreknow? Did he foreknow me? Absolutely. Shannon, did he know you? Yes, absolutely. Roger, did he know you? Yes. Listen, not only did he know me, he knew my sin. Now let me show you how big the gospel of God is. Because we put God in this little box. Amen, we do, don't we? We built a little 4x4 box and we painted up real pretty and we put gold in it and diamonds and listen, this is God's box, and we pretty it up, and amen, that's what we do, ain't it? God, you stay inside your box, and my life will be okay. That's why, listen, I encourage everybody, listen to me. Listen, if you have a need in your life, go to the Lord. Amen. If you have a need, go to Jesus. Amen. Listen, as I've grew older in my ministry, yes, I continue to pray. I love, listen, to get in my prayer grounds and humble myself before God. Listen, I love to get on my knees and cry out to him. But you know, the older I get, the more of a friend Shannon he is to me. Amen. I'm glad when I'm walking around in the shop in the morning and I get out of my truck and I'm going to the front door and I look up and I see the trees, and I can just look up toward heaven and say, good morning, Lord. Thank you for this day. Ain't it good to have a friend? Because you know, there's things in my life I just like to walk around sometimes and say, Lord, why is this happening? But you know what? When we got a friend, I'm glad that he listens, and I'm glad that there's an answer on the way. You know, that's why the scripture speaks to us in 2 Timothy 2:15. It said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And you know what? You know how the Lord speaks to me a lot of times, Shannon. When I read his word and I study his word and I think, Lord, that's good. But you know, when I've hit those points and times in my lives and I may not be on my knees, I may be driving down the road, I may be walking in the yard or cutting grass. I love my grass cutting time, don't you? Amen. Listen, I got a big old yard. Listen, it takes me about 2.5 hours to cut my grass, but I'm telling you, I'm glad I get to spend time with my friend. Amen. And you know, when I get out there and I look up toward heaven and say, Lord, why is this going on in my life? That's when he speaks to me through the word of God. Amen. There's a verse just comes out of nowhere. And I look up and say, thank you, Lord. The answer was there the whole time. You just had to show it to me. Amen. That's why there's so many people in this life, Christians especially, if you do not read the Word of God, you wander through this life so aimlessly because you have never read the answers to your questions. Amen. It's all there. All you got to do is put it in. That's why there's so many people studying to show themselves approved unto man. Huh? We want to show off our knowledge to men. We want to show off our exuberance and our excellence and how big we are and how knowledgeful we are. Listen, I'm glad that God gives us the ability every once in a while when a question arises. I'm glad that God gives us the ability to exhort from His Word to help somebody else. But listen, the reason I study the Word of God is so when I hit those times in my life and I'm walking through the yard and I look up to heaven and I ask my friend, why is this going on? I have an answer. He said, He'd never leave us nor forsake us, yea, He'd go with us always, even unto the end of the world. Ain't you glad you have a friend? Well, I am. The Bible said we have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, listen to me. Put your faith in Him. Yes, I know we need to reverence God. And listen, I don't want to stand up here and sound disagreeable. But when you come to the point when Jesus is your friend, and you're not just calling Him up when you're in trouble, but you wake up every morning and say, "Good morning, Lord. Thank you for a good night." Listen, I'm going to move on. For whom He did foreknow? Who did He foreknow? Every single one of you. He knew you before you were born, before you were put into existence. He knew this day. He knows you. In its entirety, He knows the thoughts. The Bible tells us this, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to divide and sunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. He knows your intentions. He knows your thought process. He knows your feelings. He knows exactly where you stand today, why you got there, and where you're headed. That is the awesome foreknowledge of God. Now the Bible tells us He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does this mean? Now whom He did foreknow? Who did He foreknow? Everybody. Amen? Who is that? Now listen, the Bible tells us in 1 John 2 and 1, He said, "I write these things unto you little children that you sin not. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of whosoever we will." Amen. For the sin of all. Now the Bible tells us in John 3 and 16, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friends, listen to me. Listen, I said this a few weeks ago. Who are we? We are the whosoeverites. Amen? That is the tribe of the New Testament. The whosoeverites. That's what you are. Amen? That's the way God made it. That's the way it is. That's not a biblical principle of Chris. That is the most quoted scripture of modern Christianity all throughout the ages of time. For God so loved the world, the word world. Now listen, I want to break this down so you know how big this is. The word world in the Greek is the word cosmos. The word cosmos involves all the planetary systems, the first, the second, the third heaven. All the things that we know. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Are you included in that? Amen. Yes, you are. Maybe you didn't get that. You are included in God's plan. For whom he did foreknow, I promise I'm done. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate. What does the word destiny mean? That is basically the plan or principle of our life. If you add the word pre to destinate, that means that your destiny was pre-planned. So, preacher, how do we tie in free will to predestination? Where do these two roads ever intersect, and where do they ever meet? Listen, if our lives have already been predestined, how did God ever allow us the ability of free choice and free will? You see, it started in the beginning. God prepared a beautiful garden. He put Adam and he put Eve in the midst of the garden. The Bible tells them that he sustained them with every viable thing that they needed for existence. Listen, God put them in that garden. He gave them the things that are contained therein, and he expected them to last for eternity. Amen. The garden was a place without sin. You see? Now, listen, when God put them in there, he put two trees in the midst of the garden. He said, this is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that you do, you shall surely die. And the other side, he said, I put the tree of life. You see, God knew their destiny, but there was always a choice in destiny. Preacher, how are we not puppets and God's not just pulling our strings? You see, the important principle of this is God knows our decisions. Therefore, he knows our destiny. That does not impede our free will. Preacher, you lost me and that went over my head. Listen, God gave you a choice. He knew your choice because he is all-knowing, because he's omnipotent, because he obtains and has foreknowledge. And because of his foreknowledge, your destiny was predetermined. Why? Because of our own choices and our own decisions. Amen. God knows. Listen, God does not force us to love him. God does not force us to worship him. God gives us the ability to do these things. It's not an obligation to come to church. It is a privilege. Listen to verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Don't ever tell me, and look at me when I say this, don't ever tell me God did not ever give somebody an opportunity, because that's what Calvary was. Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now listen, there has to be a response to the call, and that is your decision. But what I'm here to tell you this morning was Calvary is for everybody. And because of Calvary's tree, the gospel call has went out. It's up to you to respond. Now listen, to those who respond, the Bible said, and whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What should we then say unto these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You see, if we take God out of his box that we have put him in, he's bigger than Dawson and Forsyth and Hall County. He's bigger than our minds can comprehend. He's bigger than our prayers can pray. As we preached on last Sunday morning, I'm glad that the Spirit maketh intercession for our spirit with groanings and utterances which we cannot even comprehend, which directs the will of our lives. Ain't you glad today? Friends, listen, I bored you out of your mind. Y'all's eyes are rolling back in your head. Reel them back this way and I'll let you go. Ain't you glad that we have a God who loves us unconditionally? You see, you know how we treat people? We only love them on conditions, don't we? Huh? We treat people that they're only worthy and deserving of our love if they meet our conditions. Those that beat him as they scourged him. Those that drove the crown of thorns on his head. Those that beat him miserably. And you and I do it every day. Every time we willfully commit a sin, we take part in what they done to him at Calvary. But you see, his conditions of love are unconditional. He said, if you'll just come to me, I promise there's love waiting. So the next time you lay, and the church does this. Amen? You can't be a member of our church unless you meet this certain set of criteria. Amen? Look at me. Listen, I'm going to preach to you for a minute, and you may not like it, but you're going to have to swallow it. Amen? Listen, we as the church, we have established this preset certain conditions of criteria that you must meet to be a part of us. But it has no biblical implications. Amen? Jesus said, red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in my sight. Let them all come to me. If the church don't want them, bless God, I do. Amen. You better open your minds and get God out of the little box you've built. Broaden your horizons and your thinking and your imaginations. Let go of the conditions and all these pre-existing conditions that we have. Insurance company, they drive me insane, don't you? Amen. You pay $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 a month to have health insurance. If you've got a problem, you've got a pre-existing condition, it's excluded from your policy. That's junk and garbage. Amen. I'm glad that everything that I ever am will be. He loves me, he covers me, and he keeps me unconditionally. Amen. Stand to your feet. Y'all come with a song this morning.